Let's return now to the very latest on left, right and centre. There's been a horrific terrorist attack yesterday in the Kathua region of Jammu. Five Indian soldiers were killed in action in an ambush by terrorists. These are images that you actually see now of a military ceremony with the bodies being brought to a military cantonment. The last rites would take place after this. This is the latest in a string of attacks which have targeted India's armed forces in the Jammu region. Terror has moved to a large extent away from the Srinagar Valley, the Kashmir Valley, into the Jammu area. And that's a pattern which continues, unabated, it appears. And that's a big worry. Joining us now, General D.S. Hooda, the former Northern Army commander. We're also joined by Brahma Chelani, Lieutenant General Sanjay Kulkarni. We're also joined by Sheila Rashid. Thank you all very much for being with us. General Hooda, let me come to you first. You know, sir, it's so sad. We keep discussing this all the time. But this time around, what is different is that you've got India's Defence Secretary say quite clearly that this attack will not go unavenged. That's a choice of words which was used. He tweeted that out. Do you believe that India has just about had enough of these and that, you know, there would be military options that India might even be considering?
So, Vishnu, thanks for inviting me to the program. I think patience is actually running out. We've had this ceasefire on the line of control. Despite that, infiltration continues unabated. And we know there are foreign terrorists which are coming in. I mean, the recent spate of attacks that has happened in the Jammu region clearly is by foreign terrorists and not by locals. There is a deliberate attempt to spread what we can say the arc of terrorism into areas that have been peaceful for more than a decade and a half. I mean, the latest incident in Bani Macheri, if I recall correctly, I mean, last 18 years, there hasn't been a single incident here. So definitely there is an attempt and by Pakistan to activate areas that were peaceful for whatever reason, probably under pressure in the Kashmir Valley. But the reality is, can the Indian state just sort of keep quiet about it, do nothing about it? The larger issue, Vishnu, is that, the narrative of the state that things are getting better in Jammu and Kashmir is being seriously challenged here. So more than I think, deaths are always sort of are sad, and you feel in the heart for families. But I think here the larger state narrative is being challenged, that what you are saying about peace, it doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't. General Kulkarni, this is a part, the boundary here isn't the LOC. In fact, it's the international border. It's very close to Punjab. There's the fence there as well. And yet they've been able to infiltrate into this area. Is that an added cause of concern that, the sanctity of the fence which exists, which is, relatively less affected in this area because of the terrain, that appears to have been violated?
Yeah, Vishnu, first, very, very sad to what, losing lives is not something you feel very, very sad about. Yes, definitely, from Kathua region, from the IB. Supposing the terrorists were to start from the IB at about, say, 11 at night, they would be touching the road by about 3:30 in the morning if there is no one obstructing them. Because the IB is so close to the road itself, and it does happen because sometimes they may have infiltrated that way or may have infiltrated earlier. It's something like this, Vishnu, like fish cannot survive without water. So can't these terrorists even survive without the local support. Until and unless there is local support for these terrorists, there is no way they can survive because the terrain doesn't permit them. The jungles, the forests in JNK are not that you can simply live over there. You just cannot survive there. It's so cold. And once it starts raining, it's impossible unless until the hideouts, there you can just about manage. You can't carry with huge logistics on your back. It's all the locals who are providing support. There's something, it definitely is worrying. Worrying because in the last about, say, 2-3 years, we've lost sizable number of our soldiers south of Pir Panjal. We know for that matter. We know the inputs are coming in. Not that anyone is complacent. We all work very, very hard to ensure no infiltration takes place. But yes, there is local support. We all know that Pakistan uses terrorism as an instrument of state policy. We know all of that. But despite that, if these kind of classical ambushes where you find these people are occupying heights, taking cover of the forest, see the timing, how before the reinforcements can come, it gets dark, they all proliferate all over, and then escape from there. Classic. That means someone's supporting them, someone's doing recce for them, or they themselves are doing it, or someone's bringing them to a particular point. They know, they've been observing an area, they know how often the vehicles are moving, SOPs are there, everything in place. Now is the time. We need introspection, one. Second, obviously, to strike back. There's no denying the fact. Wherever we find anything like this, which is but Pakistan, obviously, the M4 rifles being used. What does that indicate? The Americans have left a huge lot of stockpile in Afghanistan. You find the ISI network, Haqqani network, you'll find all of them in. And that's how they're now being given to the terrorists to infiltrate into India and use it. The DG police, JNK, has been saying that there are about 60, 70 people on the launch pad. They are coming in. But yes, now that the north of Pir Panjal, the counterinsurgency grid seems to be working well. And despite that, you saw in Kulgam, you saw the house, the hideout, you saw the cupboard, and how those people were hiding behind it in a hideout, and where weapons are there, logistic support being provided. You have a member of parliament being elected with 4.5 lakh votes, a separatist who's in jail for the last 6 years. Look at that. What is all this? The mindset, despite all that. Therefore, it's very essential for people to come out. It has nothing to do with A political party or B political party. All of them, irrespective of whatever it is, the people of those states have to come out openly and say, enough is enough. We do not support terror. And until and unless these terrorists are knocked off by the locals themselves, we can't be everywhere. Look at the area.
I agree with you. In fact, Shaila, you know, this has been an area of huge concern, that there has been local support in some parts of Jammu and Kashmir, in the larger Jammu area, that support may be growing. And the sad reality is that a lot of these areas were areas where that local support wasn't there for terrorist groups in the past. You know, your thoughts on this, winning hearts and minds has been a primary strategy in the past. Is that something that needs to be looked at much more in Jammu now?
So first of all, Vishnu, my deepest respects to the soldiers who have lost their lives in this dastardly attack. And mind you, these are peacetime casualties. You know, these are not even, we are not even at war officially with Pakistan. So it's deeply concerning, first of all. I'm not able to comment on, you know, what is exactly the, I read, you know, in the previous terror attack, I read about the, you know, local people who were, you know, they were questioned and they were arrested. So I can't comment on the exact, you know, what's the situation of the local support, because I'm not from there. I'm from the Kashmir Valley. But yes, of course, because of the dwindling local support in the Kashmir Valley due to strong anti-terror ops, yes, the whole thing has moved to Jammu. But I'd like to draw our attention to another thing which I think needs our attention. Is that what is the modus operandi of Pakistan? What are they exactly trying to achieve by this kind of? Of course, one is to simply strike terror in the hearts, and that whole philosophy of bleeding us to death by a thousand cuts, God forbid. But the other thing is that the purpose behind these attacks is to harm this harmony which has been achieved between the forces and the locals. What I mean by that is that when an attack like this happens, or the last 4 or 5 attacks that happened, the intention is to send the army on a wild goose chase. So they're looking for terrorists in the, you know, in the civilian areas, they are looking for them in the jungles, etc. And in the process, they'll have to question locals, they'll have to do some CASO operations, they'll have to do some search operations. And, you know, in that process, a lot of people are arrested, in the process, a lot of homes are searched. And that creates that exact same recipe for bad blood, which was there in Kashmir during the 90s. You know, our primary grouse against the army used to be ki log gharon mein aate hain, search karte hain, right? So I think the way I see it, there is an intention to create that same anti-army sentiment in the Jammu region, in the Pir Panjal Valley, by doing these, by sending the army on a wild goose chase. And I think that's deeply concerning, because in the Jammu region, we didn't have this kind of problem. We didn't have any army, anti-army sentiment, no, or whatever. But, you know, the idea is to, like, sort of rattle us to the point where we, you know, go on this wild goose chase and then some negative anti-army sentiments are...
I take that point. Brahma Chalani, let me come to you next. Dr. Chalani, do you believe that India now needs to seriously consider military options? This is one program where we don't bandy about these terms, just for the sake of saying it. And we don't sort of look to encourage any military action. But in a stage like this, do you believe that, you know, we are headed in a particular direction?
Pakistan has greeted the start of the Modi government's third term by scripting a series of cross-border terrorist attacks. Unable to take on India directly, Pakistan has weaponized terrorism, and now it's seeking to normalize it by enlarging the geographic ambit of terrorism. For example, all these attacks had been in Jammu, and the terrorists are using more and more sophisticated weaponry. For example, in the latest attack, they've used armor-piercing weaponry. So that clearly indicates that some of the weapons that the Americans left behind in Afghanistan, including M16 machine guns and M4 assault rifles, night vision goggles, and military communications gear, have flowed with the help of ISI to these Pakistan-based terrorist groups. But there is a larger issue here that looking in the last 2.5 years picture, about nearly 44 soldiers have been killed in Jammu region alone. This cannot go unpunished. But it's apparent that India has failed to impose sufficient costs on the Pakistani military establishment, or else there would not have been this spurt in attacks. Modi himself said in late 2022 that there must be costs imposed upon countries that support terrorism. But obviously India's costs, whatever costs India has imposed, have been insufficient to deter the Pakistani military establishment. India, and I think before thinking of direct military options, India must fight Pakistan in the way Pakistan is fighting India, using unconventional means. India must fight Pakistan on Pakistani soil rather than fight Pakistan on Indian soil. To do so, India needs to be less reactive and more proactive. We tend to be very reactive. You know, we react to every terrorist attack. We suddenly wake up to a reality. I think we need to be proactive on a constant basis and take the fight to Pakistani soil. That's the only way we can actually deter Pakistan. And I think any kind of direct military option at this stage should not be considered. We need to use these unconventional military methods to take on Pakistan.
General Huda, you were Northern Army commander when the surgical strikes took place. And there was a certain mood, and that was obviously based on the Pulwama terrorist attack, on that convoy and all those CRPF jawans who were tragically killed. Do you believe that, there is a certain build-up because it's been prolonged now, 40-plus soldiers dead? Do you believe that we are seeing that kind of a build-up which might provoke some sort of reaction which is military?
So, Vishnu, my own sort of sense is that we need some consistency in our policy. How we are going to react to terrorism from Pakistan, whether it's through direct military action, whether it is through indirect action, as Mr. Chalani is recommended, whether a combination of political, diplomatic, economic pressure combined with limited military force, does. But we have to pressurize Pakistan into stopping and to deter Pakistan from stopping using terrorists against India. How do we achieve that? That's, I think, one question that we need to sort of consistently and continuously ask ourselves. Coming to what the situation is today, Vishnu, I think at some stage, the way things are going on, one, the ceasefire is going to come under pressure. Second, these demands for some coercive military action against Pakistan are going to grow. And I think Pakistan also needs to understand the problems that they have today, the poly crisis that they are facing. Unless they put a check on infiltration, I would certainly think you would see some reaction by India.
All right, that's a frightening thought, but perhaps there is no other option. Increasingly, it just seems that the situation is difficult. There are a wide array of options which are militarily available. They exist at the entire scale, of military action. One just hopes that there is some sense that dawns on the Pakistani leadership. But at this juncture, 40-plus soldiers dead over the last period of time, all in this Jammu area, it is very, very sad indeed. I'd like to thank you all very much for being with us. Plenty to think about there.